Blog Talk Radio.
Resignations in Washington, long overdue. This guy, Shinseki, Japanese ethnic from Hawaii, who seemed to think that he was indispensable. No, he resigned today, I understand. And later today, or earlier today, we heard that Jay Carney, who is thought to be the gay mouthpiece for the Obama administration, he's resigned. The heat's on. And, of course, this is probably one of the worst administrations in U.S. presidential history. Excuse me. I haven't seen anything so bad in my 50 years. Maybe there'll be more resignations. We shall see what we shall see. Also, this guy, a guy named Kiko, was a name to be counsel to the investigation, the U.S. House of Representatives Congressional Committee investigating this Benghazi mess. And what's interesting about an administration which has been so pro-gay or homosexual or lesbian, however you want to look at it, a U.S. ambassador, this has never happened in the whole history of the U.S. State Department or in American history, where an American diplomat was tortured, raped, mutilated, by and then covered up, or this horrible incident covered up by his bosses at the State Department and at the White House. it's just incredible, unreal. Let's get to the birthdays today. And two of the greatest Russians, three of them actually, were born on this day. Alexander Nevsky, the great, produced by Sergei Eisenstein, who share the same birthday. produced during World War II for Joe Stalin, and it's actually based on it has its origin in the Ukraine, incidentally, where Alexander Nevsky was a prince in the 12th century, and the Teutonic Knights were invading that part of Russia, Kiev, and Nevsky fought them and defeated the Teutonic Knights. This is a great movie called Alexander Nevsky. The music is also fantastic. It was composed by the great Russian composer Sergei Prokofiev, who incidentally died on the same day that Joe Stalin died in 1953. Another of my favorite Russian, Peter the Great, who really set Russia on the course to modernization and making it a world power and a naval power, the father of the Russian Navy. He was born on this day also. And St. Petersburg is named after him, although during the Communist Revolution, they renamed it to Leningrad, and then it's been switched back, thank heaven, given it his due. One of the greatest men in history, all the things he did for a monarch. He went to Holland to learn how to build ships. He worked in the shipyards there. Of course, he was his rowdy antics throughout Europe, getting drunk, chasing, I understand, both boys and girls. Well, of course, these are the Russians in those days. And also, he modernized Russia. He died from pneumonia. He tried to save a drowning man off of St. Petersburg, I understand, during a storm, caught pneumonia. And as he was dying, they were trying to get him to name an heir. And he didn't. So his first wife, Catherine the First, became the first Catherine Empress of Russia. And she later trained the German princess who became Catherine the Great, one the greatest woman in Russian history. The other great Russian born on this day, Fabergé, after the Fabergé jewels are named after him. Great directors and actors, well, great director Howard Hawks, who did some great films, especially Westerns, born today. Great woman author born in Chicago, Cornelius Otis Skinner. Also born in Chicago, Benny Goodman, and a great jazz clarinetist. I understand he was very tight with his money. Now, among the great actors, we have Stephen Fetchett, who was criticized because he played black roles, and they thought he was being subservient, but he wasn't. He had to deal with it at the time. Hugh Griffin, who had a great voice, he's probably best, he served in starred in several films, Lawrence of Arabia, played with his hawk nose. My favorite film is Tom Jones, where he played one of the squires, and he's laying down with his dogs. It's something you should see if you enjoy films like Tom Jones. Another other actors today, Clint Walker, played Western roles, and, of course, a great woman director, German, no, I think she's an American, Agnes Varda. And, of course, Winona Judge, one of the singers, she was born on this day. And one of the discoverers of plutonium, Dr. Joseph Kennedy, there were four discoverers who shared that distinction. Among the deaths, another great Peter Paul Rubens, the great painter, Dutch painter. And, of course, see the movie Rubens, starring Charles Laughton. Voltaire, that was his nom de plume. He died on this day. The guy who started all of this trouble in Kansas, where Kansas got the name Bleeding Kansas, this was wars over slavery and those issues, Kansas-Nebraska Act, which allowed slavery to be practiced in the North, and it dissolved or revoked the Missouri Compromise, where there was not supposed slavery was not allowed to be extended into the northern states. Quantrill tried to make Kansas a slave state. And it's a famous movie starring the Walter Pigeon and John Wayne. Quantrill Raiders is the name that comes out of that piece of history. One of the Wright brothers, discoverers, makers of the first plane that really flew, Wilbur Wright, and, of course, named after a college that I attended. One of the worst dictators in South America, Rafael Trujillo, he was assassinated on this day. Another great Russian, Boris Pasternak, the author of Dr. Zhivago, and I think Quiet Flows the Dumb. Another actor died on this day, Claude Rains, remember him in Casablanca and several other films. And Audie Murphy, who was a World War II hero, he died in a plane crash. Turk Murphy died, and one of the great opera singers from what was Yugoslavia, Zinka Milanov, she died of a heart attack. Among the events today, Hernando de Soto discovered Florida. Talking about the Spanish, in 1588, the Spanish Armada departed for Spain. Now, they had an admiral who died, and Philip II was so determined, but this is what happens when you mix religion with politics and military tactics and objectives. Philip II named a guy who some of the oldest families in Spain, Medina Sidonia, who had no seasick naval experience, and he complained to Philip that, hey, I get seasick. But Philip insisted that it was God's will that he lead the Armada, and of course it was a bloody disaster for the Spanish. And that was the end of Spanish naval power. Queen Elizabeth I and Drake and these Howard and the British naval experts and captains and admirals defeated the Spanish galleons with the English smaller ships. And of course, what happened was the survivors of the Armada sailed north around Scotland, and some of them were shipwrecked on the coast of Ireland. They were hunted down. What happened was the English who were over there, soldiers, hunted down the Spanish survivors and sort of treating them as prisoners of war, made them strip, and then they slaughtered all of them. The ones that escaped became, they were sheltered by Irish women and Irish families, and their descendants have come down through history as known as Black Irish. Richard Nixon was supposedly descended from the Black Irish, and of course there may be some Spanish blood that was in his lineage. I remember we learned this at school because my school was predominantly Irish ethnic back in those days. Talking about murders, Queen Victoria, there was an attempted assassination by a guy named John Francis. He did not succeed. In 1848, at the end of the Mexican War, the Mexicans lost, Santa Ana was defeated. The United States, Mexico ceded to the United States with a sum of $15 million. Get this. New Mexico, California, Nevada, parts of Utah, Arizona, and Colorado for $15 million. It was as good a deal, and even better deal than the Louisiana Purchase that Thomas Jefferson negotiated. Now, also on this day, the ice cream freezer was invented. In 1868, at the end of the 3 years after the end of the American Civil War, Memorial Day was originally set became known because of the work of two women in Columbus, Mississippi. They put flowers on the graves of both Union and Confederate soldiers. And for our women, talking about women, the brassiere was invented on this day. I haven't heard him in a while, but his uncle, General Smedley Butler, was one of the Marines who was sent to Nicaragua to fight these wars. He said, "War is a racket." He was also, I think, in the Boxer Revolution. He was a U.S. Marine, and of course, I'm grateful to my friend, who is the nephew of the late General Smedley Butler. And also Smedley Butler had the book, which we are going to be putting on disc, but we can't sell it. That's the deal. It'll be available, The Plot to Steal the White House. Also, this is quite interesting, and it comes into something that I just learned today from John Dean on his blog. That, here's the thing. 1991, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a ruling which said that prosecutors who give the police false information, these prosecutors can be held liable. Now, John Dean on his blog today wrote, John Dean was a former lawyer, disbarred because of his role in the Watergate scandal. You like this. All the lawyers in the case from the U.S. Attorney General on down, all of them went to jail. The accountant, Maurice Stans, he walked. John Dean said on his blog today that the U.S. Supreme Court goes back and revises decisions without publicizing it. So this is quite interesting. The lawyers better start paying attention because if they quote published opinions of the U.S. Supreme Court, and it turns out the court has quietly revised those opinions, those lawyers could be held liable and probably will be. And let's see, that's among the other events today. Now, this man, I was told about it this morning, Dr. Joseph Douglas, he's the author of Red Cocaine, which exposes the cocaine trafficking by the communists, and of course we have them here in San Francisco, but it's blue cocaine from Bolivia and other places. Dr. Joseph Douglas, a military expert, he worked in intelligence. He died May 24th, and he died at his in a retirement home in Pompano, Florida. And of course, a lot of people who knew of his work did not hear of his death. I just found out about it today. Among the other things, Art Burnclaw, he died last year. A good friend of mine. We're going to be broadcasting the tapes that he sent me to use on the new shadow. He was one of the founders of Veterans for Constitutional Law, and he was one of the early and most aggressive, I should say, advocates for veterans whose rights have been violated or ignored by the Veterans Administration, and this is before Shinseki. And a lot of the scandals, of course, the scandals in the, it was called the Veterans Bureau after the American Civil War, veterans have been screwed by one administration after the other. I understand that after World War I, there was the veterans were supposed to get a bonus, and they were jerked around, and finally they marched to Washington and set up these tent cities during the Hoover administration, and of course there was a scandal in the Veterans Bureau during the Coolidge administration. Hoover succeeded, not Coolidge, but Harding. Coolidge succeeded Harding, and of course the most notorious thing that happened in Calvin Coolidge's administration was the court-martial of General Billy Mitchell, and the great aviation prophet. He prophesied, he foresaw the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and the war in the Pacific, and for speaking out, he was court-martialed and broken from the army, and because he also said that air power could defeat the battleships, and the Navy was after his hide. You know, and they were trying to cover their sterns, so let's put it that way. Anyway, there was a scandal in the Veterans Bureau during the Harding administration, and then when the veterans of World War I went to Washington to demand that they get their bonuses, General Douglas MacArthur was ordered by Hoover to go out and break up the veterans' tent camps. One of the things that shameful things, although he was ordered to do it, one of the things that Doug MacArthur did. These things are not well publicized. Unfortunately, Art Burnclaw died. He was a great lover of his dogs and fine food. He was also was on the I think the Boston Red Sox farm team. He's quite a baseball fan. He was a U.S. Marine veteran, honorably discharged, and also he took no money for all the work he did. We met once here in San Francisco. He used to needle these senators who would not pay attention to the rightful complaints of veterans who were being denied the medical services that they were entitled to and which they fought for. There was another scandal here in San Francisco, and it's still going on. Veterans and their widows who live in HUD-subsidized housing, whether it's public housing or the Dimmesling House, I didn't have a chance to put the picture up. They protested after they got nowhere with the feds. They protested in front of the U.S. District Court House here in San Francisco, the Ninth Circuit. And, of course, that still hasn't been resolved. And, of course, one woman, the veteran widow of a veteran, this widow was getting her mail and she was bending over to pick up some mail off the floor, and she was maced by one of the thugs in one of these HUD housing projects. Hitman was brought in by the manager, the guy who ripped off the assets and falsified real estate deeds belonging to the Caballeros de Dimmesong, the people. This was the Filipino fraternal group which owned this HUD-subsidized housing. And this guy, Tony Garcia, fled the Philippines. He was wanted for all kinds of fraud and mischief over there. They kept complaining about him, and nothing was done. So Tony Garcia imported this hitman named Sammy Yu, imported him from Manila, And the veterans, survivors of Bataan, Corregidor, Philippines, and Vietnam, Korea, confronted him, and he fled back to Manila. The FBI and the U.S. Attorney's Office could not catch him in time, and apparently they did not demand, either didn't pursue him and locate him and demand extradition. But these are some of the things that go on. But Jan Allen, who was a descendant, her father was one of the last of Tammany Hall politicians. She served in World War II as a nurse at Pearl Harbor. She lived in HUD-subsidized public housing, and she would report all the violations. She later became a housing commissioner, and they forced her off the San Francisco Housing Commission. She would report that veterans who died in San Francisco's public housing, that the managers of those projects would steal their belongings, drive their cars, all kinds of things. Now, among the other crazy things that are going on in San Francisco, and this is, San Francisco is a cutting-edge city. A lot of things that start here, unfortunately, and some of the worst things start here and are picked up by other cities around and countries around the world. We have got a report, it's, we're following up on it, that one of these, they're known as these white yuppies, environmental Nazis, environmental commissars, went into this major trucking company and told the janitors that they were going to have to wash their clam shells. These are the plastic containers that you get when you do takeout. And, you know, we haven't seen this kind of environmental Nazism or commissars since the East German so-called Democratic Republic, where their secret police called the Stasi put filters on toilets of people they suspected of being against the regime. They spied on people's garbage. And so we're now seeing this the Stasi tactics in San Francisco being applied to what we could call waste management. So we will be bringing up more of this because they're going to try to do it around California. You know, this is some of the things that are the worst of San Francisco. You always hear about the best of San Francisco, but you don't hear about the worst. And there's more worse than there is a new best. So we'll be bringing that up. You can go to our Carson Verzola audio archives. A lot of our stuff is on the web at Amicus Veritas YouTube and at our Amicus Veritas blog. We will be back Monday. June is going to be dedicated to the veterans, and it's also Armed Forces Month for us. And so we'll be bringing up more on, like, Dr. Joseph Douglas's work. It's very important, that book, Red Cocaine, and there's another one. I understand it's still available. So we're going to end right now with our theme, Politics and Poker. I think Art would love this. In fact, that's, we had him on a show a long time ago. here we go, Politics and Poker.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
I suppose we should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up some cards and find a joker. Neither game for children, neither game.
or poker? Which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot, that's me!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot, that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck.
Well, folks, I'm losing my voice, so we'll be back Monday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas, and also look up Veterans for Constitutional Law. It's very relevant right now. And may God bless our burn calls. So, good night.